It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is time, of course, for California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, my co-host, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, all back in. Today, Tom Simino is back, and he's presenting one of our favorites, Williams Selyem. Jeff and Mark are back. Good to see you guys again.
Great to be here.
Been a while.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to see you. Tom.
Another great night here in Sonoma County.
Yeah. So go ahead and introduce the guys, and then we'll talk more about the history of
so
William Selyem.
So we've got Mangahas, who is the winemaker, and Mark Malpidi, which is, he's the vice president of sales and marketing, right?
Both of them, yeah.
Both of them. That's doubled yeah. up. Two for the price of one there. And William Selyem, of course, is known for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, a little bit of Zinfandel on West Side Road here in I'm not home, but up in Healdsburg. And we're going to spend the hour talking and tasting some of these beautiful new wines that are going to be the releases that are going to be coming up in September. And we're going to, if everybody, a little tease here, we'll talk about how do you get on the list so you can get some of these wines in September. So, Jeff, do you want to tell us a little bit about William Selyem?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great to be back. It's been a couple of years since I think we've been on the air, but great things are happening at William Selyem. The history of our winery, I mean, we've hopefully many of you already know about us, but winery kind of started by Burt Williams, Ed Selyem, way back, actually in their garage. If anybody knows, down in Fulton, there's a little winery outside there.
Fulton, the gateway to Windsor.
Well, there you go. That's what it's known for. Thank you, Jackson. In their garage in the late 70s, and, you know, they started making some cool wines from some great vineyards out in West County, Sonoma, and made their first, I think, commercial release in 1981, and it was kind of, you know, with great acclaim. The wines were accepted, you know, widely as, you know, sort of the flag bearer for Rush River Valley Pinot Noir, and gained a lot of notoriety for the wines. Amazing story, actually. I mean, two guys that really didn't know much about wine and started making these handcrafted Pinot Noirs.
One of them was the wine buyer out in Forestville, right?
Right, at Spears Market. Ed was the buyer at Spears Market, and Bert was a pressman down at the San Francisco Chronicle.
And Spears was the only place you could buy the wine at that point.
Yeah.
Hacienda Del Rio, right? Isn't that what it was called?
Hacienda Del Rio,
which
House on the River.
When you think about it, because Hacienda was actually a garage.
It sounded great, though, right?
Yeah, it sounded good.
It's all about the story.
Hacienda Del Rio was the original name of the winery, and back then, you know, it takes a couple of years between when you pick grapes and put them in the bottle till you sell it. So in 83, when they sold it, a little winery called Hacienda objected to the name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, owned by the Franzia family.
Yeah.
And then they sent a very polite cease and desist letter. And so then the next year, it changed to Williams and Selyem. And that's actually one of the things that most people don't know. The name of the winery is not William Selyem, which we all call it. It's Williams and Selyem, because it was Burt Williams and Ed Selyem.
Right. And so, and of course, you don't have that on the label.
No, you don't.
So nobody calls it Williams and Selyem.
So first vintage, Jeff, from was 81, you said?
81 was the first commercial release, yes.
And specializing in Pinot way back then?
Well, back then, I mean, they had Pinot Noir, and they made a Zinfandel as well.
One of the biggest Zinfandels I had ever tasted in my life.
Needed. Had a bottle of 82 a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
And it's amazing. Zinfandel from the Russian River Valley with its great acidity, I mean, it ages incredibly well,
yeah,
right?
Really. Unbelievable wine. And when we pulled the cork on it, it was as clean as a whistle. And the wine came into the glass, and everybody said, what is that, about 5 years old? I said, yeah, right.
Where was my invite, Dan?
Yeah, it wasn't my bottle. I didn't even know it was coming to dinner that evening.
Yeah, that original Zin fruit came off the Martinelli Jackass Hill vineyard. So it's was big wine, but ages like a beautiful old claret.
Well, the secret has always been your good acidity and your low pH. That's the secret to all good wines that age, and this one was really in that league.
We just had an 11 Olivet Lane Chardonnay Sunday night. It was killer. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful acidity in that wine. That was a nice cool vintage 2011. little bit later ripening, and it just preserved that beautiful acid. It's a fresh wine, beautiful apple, pear kind of notes to it.
And it's starting
structure.
To show a little, you know, that little kind of tinge in the color starting to fill out. Oh, it's just, it was delicious. A little butterscotchy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, how long have you been director of winemaking over there?
It's been a number of years now. I came on board in 2011, worked with Bob Cabral for a few years and took over really after the, you know, the start of the 14 vintage. So, yeah, it's been a number of years now. So,
and Dan Berger, give me your thoughts over all these years of Williams and Selyum.
I've been following this winery since the beginning. Actually, started tasting through the wines when I moved here in 86, so I had a good run of them. I was able to stop at Spears and buy a couple of bottles here and there, but didn't realize how limited it was. You go out to Spears to buy wine, and they had a good selection. And then as time went by, I started realizing, hey, this stuff is aging like gangbusters, and the fruit was really especially distinctive of that region that you were picking the fruit from. And as the time went by and you picked different vineyards, and those vineyards were really distinctively different, and that's what makes great Pinot Noirs. They reflect their vineyard source.
I think it's probably one of the wines that show their terroir the most.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to grow, and a lot of varieties, you can grow them in a wrong region, but Pinot Noir has to be grown in a cool spot, good drainage, tiny crop. I always joke with some of these Pinot producers that it's second crop that they've got out there. Because they're tiny clusters,
so small.
And such a small crop per acre. It's crazy.
The other thing, too, is that if you try to make too much, it shows.
It's no good.
You cannot do a lot of that wine.
That's right.
Yeah, most of our vineyard sources are from the Russian River Valley, although we source today. We're going to taste a wine from the Anderson Valley. You know, the Russian River is so interesting because there's so many different microclimates, even within a small geographic area. You've got different influence of wind, different soil types, you know, volcanic soils, sedimentary kind of soils, and it makes for a dynamic range of flavors.
Yeah, and the middle of the valley is a little bit warmer than the extreme edges.
Absolutely.
So it's a wonderful thing that we have all of these little appellations and little microclimates that you can, and you guys, because you make such small batches, you can keep them separate.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like having a taste of California terroir when you taste through the whole portfolio.
Absolutely. Even just, you know, the winery is on West Side Road, just a few miles, 7 miles outside of Healdsburg. And even within about a 2 mile stretch on West Side Road, we make 5 different vineyard designated Pinot Noirs. And man, they are different. I mean, Dan, you've tasted all of them. And
they are distinctively different. And I think the nice thing is if you can afford to do it, buy two at a time, drink two at a time, and see the differences.
See
they are
do.
Just
or a case at a time.
A case at a time.
Even the guys around you are distinctly different. You know, all the guys surrounding Arista, all Copan, when they used to get their fruit there, it's a completely different expression and not more than a mile or two away.
Absolutely. And one of the unique things about how we make the Pinot Noir, a lot of the variables are similar. So we only use one type of French oak barrel. We use one type of, actually it's a Williams Selyum isolate of yeast to ferment all the grapes, same type of tank. So when you're really tasting these vineyards that are right next to each other and you're tasting the dramatic difference in the flavor profile, the acid, the tannin structure, it's really because of the site, not because the winemaking is very different. It's actually rather similar across all those wines. So that's a very striking thing, I think, with our wines.
You know, we do a segment every other Tuesday with Mike Haney from the Sonoma County Vintners called The Vintner's Vibe. He was in recently, and he had brought, I think it was a 2014 Williams Selyum Shard. I almost had to go home.
with the bottle.
Of course, with the bottle. But I took like 3 sips and went, that's it.
That's it.
You're on your own, guys. Yeah. I got to get out of here. This is too good. And now we're looking at a 2016 Shard, Russian River Valley. How many different Shards are you guys making?
Oh, gosh, I'm losing count. Let's see. Single vineyards, there's six. And we make one blended Chardonnay that doesn't have any oak. It's called the unoaked Chardonnay. Yeah, I mean, what's great about, you know, the Russian River Valley, I mean, some of the first, well, Zin's a different story. We'll get to that in a bit. But some of the first plantings in the valley were Chardonnay. And there's some, it's a beautiful climate. Even though we talk about Pinot Noir mostly, there's some wonderful Chardonnay vineyards. We're tasting today. This is a brand new wine for us. It's a 2016. It's our William Sellium Estate. So these are rather young vines, but it's right there on our property on West Side Road on the bank of the Russian River. So it's got really well-drained soils, very cool site. So it's a very slow ripening process. But what's really unique about this wine, which is, I think, kind of unheard of, really, there are 20 different clones and selections of Chardonnay that are all interplanted in this field, and they're all harvested at once to make this wine. It's all barrel fermented, only about 20% new oak. And kind of what, I mean, you guys have tasted it. What do you think of it?
I am in love again.
Yeah.
Solid. Dan?
It's another example of Montrachet in a bottle. I mean, you don't see Montrachet from France that's this good very often. Most of them, I would say about 60% of them that I've tasted are not even worth buying or drinking. You get to the high-toned ones, the ones that sell for $250 a bottle. That's where the good stuff is, and it goes on up from there. This is like an American version of that, and it's pretty astounding for the intensity of the aroma and then the completeness of the aftertaste based on the acidity.
How much better is this going to get in your cellar?
Well, if I have any, this will go for 4 to 6
years. Oh, we'll get you some.
This is just absolutely one of those great, great wines where when you smell Chardonnay for the first time, 99% of them you want to drink them. This one you really have to put away.
Yeah, and that owes to the slow ripening process out in the field because of the coolness of the site. And, you know, what's interesting about having 20 different clones and selections of Chardonnay, they all have a different flavor profile. Some are, and we don't really think about tannin so much in Chardonnay, but a lot of these clones, especially growing in the cool climate of the Russian River, have very thick skins, and that adds a texture to the wine that allows it to age or gives it a lot of structure in the mouth. And so in this particular wine, having 20 of those different selections and clones of Chardonnay, different flavor profiles all coming together, harmonizing to make, I think, a really unique product. So it's exciting to be able to share that with people, and this will be coming up on the new release here.
This must be a nightmare to do the sugar tests, because they all ripen a little bit differently, don't they?
Well, he obviously has taken that into account.
I know, man, but I'm just telling you. But I'll give you the
famous geek alert for this wine is leucoanthocyanin.
Easy for you to say. That may be the biggest geek alert in recent history. Yeah. What does that mean?
White wine tannin.
Oh, okay. And by the way, yeah, I call him Dan Lay It Down Burger. I'm known as Steve Drink It Now Jackson.
Between here and the driveway.
This is unbelievable. 2016 Williams Sellium, 2016 Chardonnay, Russian River Valley.
Phenomenal.
Now, Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn.
Yes, sir.
Give me your thoughts on this, and then talk about, as we always do, all the Williams Sellium wines that you guys sell over there.
You got to know the password. They're all in the back room. it's in our stash, temperature controlled room, so you got to know somebody. But yeah, we sell a little bit of these wines. They're very successful. And every now and then we'll buy a cellar. There's a lot of collectors that, you know, have Williams Sellium back to the 90s that, you know, occasionally they'll let go of them and they'll show up in the store, and I usually buy whatever I can of them. They're stunning. You know, with 10, 15, 20 years of age, and they're still in great shape. So,
and so you folks sell a lot of different varietals from William Sellium, I'm sure.
Yeah, we get a little bit of Chardonnay. Got a little of the dessert wine this year, and mostly Pinots.
And none of the Chenin, I'm sure.
No.
No, that doesn't make it out of the winery, I don't think.
We make over 30 different wines, so Bottle Barn sees, you know, six or seven of them, not all 30, because some of them are made in, like the Chenin Blanc, in such small quantities that, you know, it mainly goes directly to our list members, although Barry's a list member, but it's a different side of
different kind. Yeah, we understand.
Yeah, and I would also recommend to people, if you haven't been to the winery, it's one of the best tours I've been on. I know it's appointment only, but plan ahead and make a day of it. It's a pretty stunning property.
Yeah, Mark, talk about that and the
talk
whole
about
situation.
Getting on the list, too.
Yeah, okay, that
well,
too.
So you need to get on the list to actually come to the winery.
Oh, there
that's
it is.
One of the things. It's appointment only for our list members. And there's generally between a 6 and 9 month wait to get on the list, which is not so bad. Mm-hmm. And pretty much if you join now, you'd be able to get on the fall release in all likelihood. And it's at our website, williamsilliam.com. And then when you come and visit the winery, we built a state-of-the-art winery that opened in 2010. And it is mainly for two purposes. One, for us to entertain our list members. And two, for Jeff and his team to bottle and barrel-age the wines. And it's all built around hospitality. It's a very private tour in one of the most beautiful spots in the world, I think, but we're right on a hillside on West Side Road looking out all over the gorgeous Russian River Valley. And like Barry said, it's a great tour. We spend an hour and a half. We drink some library wines, some special things that don't usually make the allocation, like the Chenin Blanc or more recently our Gruner Veltliner. So there's always a little something special or a surprise if you come to the winery.
Gruner Veltliner. He was my doctor when I lived in Austin. He was a German
Austrian
guy.
Yeah. He was the Austrian brother on Fraser, wasn't he?
Yeah, that guy too. Now, listen, folks, if you're not familiar, and, well, you should be if you love wine in any way, shape, or form, it's Williams and then Selyem, S-E-L-Y-E-M, williamsselyem.com. Or is there a winery in it? No, that's it, williamsselyem.com.
Perfect. It's the two S's in the middle that everyone screws up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's always been a tough one for me, too. But why did you drop the Williams and Selyem? It seems like that would have flowed together a little better for
people.
Well,
it's the label design. It actually, if you look at the bottom of the bottle, it does say Williams and Selyem. But the top, where it displays the names, is what everyone thinks of the label. So one of the most iconic labels in wine, Bert Williams, being a pressman, with the help of his friend, designed this label back in the late 80s. And it's the way the Williams and the Selyem ran together on the label. And
yeah.
That's what we all call it.
You could never change that label.
Yeah.
I mean, never.
No,
forget
it's,
about it.
It's iconic. It's
I mean,
classic.
They say, you know, in the wine world, a label has like 3 years of active, you know, greatness, and then you should change your label, tweak it somehow. William Selyem does not need to do that.
No. We don't need to put an animal on the label?
No animals.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Well, I don't know. Everyone else does. California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, is here. And, of course, my co-host, Dan Berger. Today we're featuring Tom Simino presenting Williams Selyem Winery. Jeff, don't tell me.
Mangahas.
Perfect.
Well, he is director of winemaking at Williams Selyem. Mark Malpede is here, vice president of sales and marketing. And I want to talk a little more. Did I say it right?
Yeah. Close enough.
Malpede?
Yes, there you go.
Is it Italian?
You could go with Malpiede, but that would be pretentious.
Oh, there you go. Jackson.
Come on, it's your people.
Well, yeah, yes, we are paisans. Yes. My real name is Vicario, so, I don't know.
I thought it was Jacksone.
Yeah. That's what I've said for 45 years in radio, that it was Jacksone. My grandparents got to Ellis Island, and they dropped the I. And now it's Jackson, J-A-X-O-N. Thanks again for coming in, guys. It's always cool to see you. Williams Selyem, iconic here in wine country. And Tom, talk about this Pinot, because...
You know, the nice thing about the Williams Selyem Pinots, we were talking about it off air here, I consider this wine a feminine wine because there's a soft touch, right? You know, it has an elegance about it. in a rich way. And of course, Dan lay it down burger. I'm like right behind him. Tom, I don't lay it down quite so long, Seminole, but this wine is a 16. It's beautiful. Fruit palm, Anderson Valley grown. This is the Farrington, right?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
And 16 was a very good year. But the wine still has that feminine quality. It's not going to club you over the head. You sniff it, and it smells like fruit. I'm a grower. That's what I want to smell when I smell wine. A lot of people like a lot of oak. I'd rather have fruit. And the richness in the palate, the varietal character is there. It's true to its varietal. It's a beautiful wine with four more years on it. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, as Steve Drink It Now Jackson, I turn it over to Dan Lay It Down Burger. And, I mean, does 4 years sound right to you, or would you go longer?
I wouldn't even open a bottle for 4 years. Then I'd look at it and see it's got probably another eight after that. Because the problem with Pinot Noir is that it's a very reticent variety, both on the vine and in the winery. And as a time goes by, the variety has a tendency to shift. What I'm smelling in this wine is so young that it's very, very difficult for me to actually appreciate so many of the pieces that I know I can't taste yet.
Yeah,
I'm
but you will.
I'm smelling them and I taste them, yeah. And yet I know there's so much more to come.
I understand that. I just don't have the patience you have.
It's okay. Wow. If you drink it now, we'll make more next year, Jackson.
Thank you.
The wineries love depletion.
Right.
Well, Pinot Noir is one of the grapes that is easier to drink young than, say, Cabernet.
Oh, for
right?
sure.
Yeah. So a lot of people, whether we think you should age it for 3, 5, 10 years, a lot of people are going to drink it within the first year. They fall to more the Steve Drink It Now Jackson theory. And so right. The wines have to be good when they're young, too.
I agree. Yes, exactly. Barry, your thoughts on the wine? And will we be able to buy any of this at Bottle Barn? Or you guys just...
They did get Farrington last year a little bit.
I'll make sure that they get an
allocation.
We're
going to have a negotiation in the hallway deal. Yeah. But, yeah, this wine, I can see... I guess it's been in the stable since 94, Jeff was saying. And I've had old bottles of this that have just blown me away. And the beauty is it's so amazing right out of the gates, especially for Mendocino, which I was saying earlier, can be kind of high tone, a little sharp when it's young. This doesn't have any of that. It's you know, could take 3 or 4 months to round out, but I'm totally happy with it right now. Lots of clove and cherry, red fruits, beautiful.
Again, it's williamscellium.com. And we want to talk a bit more because during the break, Barry was telling me about the winery itself and visiting the winery. And I am now looking at a photo of what they have built. Barry's a big fan. I'll let you talk about it here.
Yeah,
this looks
on the website.
Amazing.
Yeah, seeing the building alone will motivate you to try and get on the list. It's quite an amazing piece of architecture. Beautiful. Just the entryway alone will shock you. I think every vintage empty bottles of Williamscellium is still behind the bar there, as I recall.
Yeah, it's 81 through 16. We actually filled up the racks.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to figure out something when the 17s come out.
Yeah, that display alone is just mind-boggling. And the property, just it's gravity-built and a huge, beautiful patio in the back. The tour alone is worth signing up for the list, for sure.
Wow.
And then pickup day is so much fun.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot
and
of fun.
And you see your friends who've mm-hmm. been on the list forever. Like Bill Traverso. I run into Bill there. That's the only time I see him during the year. So we'll catch up and, you know, and just have some fun. And Jeff is always there pouring barrel samples. Mark's running around with his head cut off.
Marketing and sales. Talk more about this structure and what you guys did, because it is awesome looking.
Well, you know, it's set off the road, so when you drive down West Side Road and go around the corner, you wouldn't even know it's there. We don't have a sign. If you know the winery, you can look at our gate and pick up what Bert used to call the doodad on the label. It's a little scroll, and that's on the gate. And you come up, and it's the reveal of this beautiful state-of-the-art winery that's based on the concept of a barrel. So when you stand in the middle of it, it's like you're in the middle of a barrel with old recycled redwood that are like barrel staves, and there's glass and concrete and stainless steel, and it talks to the tools of winemaking, and it's really, you know, architectural artwork as well.
It
as
really
being a real
is
functional
winery. Just from this photo, I would call that architectural
and
artwork.
The view. Yeah. I mean, you're looking across the valley all the way at, and because I'm from Alexander Valley, I look at Mount St. Helena from a certain way, and Mount St. Helena looks so different from all these different spots that you're at. Mm-hmm. And when you're on your patio and you're looking out at Mount St. Helena from that side, I mean, it's an expansive view. You're sipping a beautiful Pinot with, some great people. I mean, get on the list, man. And September and...
So, yeah, spring and fall, and it's usually February, March, and then late August, September are the two releases.
There we are.
So I'm a little confused here, okay, which is... often the case, most likely every day the case. But so you can't just call you guys and say, I want a tour, I want a tasting, unless you're on
correct
the coveted mm-hmm. list.
Well, it's supply and demand, like many things. Like,
I understand.
That's why we have an allocation list. And, you know, we only have so much space at the winery, so we take care of our list customers first. And, we have a lot of them too, because we're kind of the original winery that did this direct to consumer mailing list, and so we have a pretty big list of dedicated fans. You know, people like Tom that started buying the wines, I think, in the late '80s, mm-hmm. early '90s, and they stay on the list. And so we can only have so many people, so it is a little bit the law of supply and demand.
It's not beer; you can't just brew it up. Yeah. And it's Pinot, which is even worse, because you get 3 tons to the acre is a big crop.
That's
where
huge.
I'm growing like 5 and 6 of Cabernet. You know,
right.
So
yeah.
These vineyard-designated wines that we're tasting today are really only a few hundred cases each. That's not a lot to go around the world.
Hell no.
Compare
with
that
the reputation that you
compare
have.
Compare that to some of the Napa Valley Cabernets that make 20,000 a year.
Right.
Sorry to say.
20,000 cases.
They won't actually tell you that.
Yeah. They don't tell you that.
Wow.
So we're going to move on to the next one, Jeff?
Yeah.
So, and by the way, let me tell you, if you need to go to the website, williamscellium.com, and try to get on the list, unless, it turns out Kathy's on the list. Okay. So the drive is on the list. Vicario Productions.
The drive is on the list.
Because I was going to say.
You make an appointment.
Yeah, all right, cool.
She was already hustling me in the hallway for extra wine.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That's how it usually works.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I was going to say, and if you're not on the list, unless you have a talk show that has an award-winning, multi-award-winning wine program, you're screwed.
You
got to wait.
That's right.
No, I don't.
No, you know, you have to think about it. They only release twice a year.
Yeah, I know.
So if
it's
you have
an amazing story.
If you have a 6-month waiting list and you order and you get on the list now, you'll be on the list for the fall.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's, you know, get on the list, man. I'm telling you.
It's really the only way to get the line.
He's a believer.
That's...
I am
outside of Bottle
Barn.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, but that's only we can tide you over until the next offering.
There you go.
But there's a lot more to choose from their offering than what we get.
Jeff Mangahas.
That's it.
Is the director of winemaking at Williamscellium, and Mark Malpide, my Goomba, is vice president of sales and marketing. Tom Simino has brought in Williamscellium. Dan Berger, of course, my co-host, my other co-host, Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn. Tom, let's move forward here.
So this next one is
2016 Eastside Road Neighbors.
Eastside Road Neighbors. So Eastside Road, which would be on the other side of the river. So it would be on the east side of the river. Eastside Road. And again... It screams Williamscellium again with that feminine quality. This one isn't quite as big as the Anderson Valley.
Well, this one is Russian River.
Yeah, that surprises me that it isn't quite as big as the Anderson Valley, because I wouldn't kind of think that Anderson would be that much bigger. This is a little softer, a little smoother.
Different fruit profile, too, I think. Just kind of a different spectrum.
Yeah, it's not quite as big a fruit bomb.
More strawberries and raspberries
And I think that's quintessential Russian River, right? I mean, there's even a floral note in there oftentimes in the Russian River Valley. I'm getting you know, fresh rose petals or dried rose petals, that sort of thing.
It's an orange blossom thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of Julianne and I publish a weekly sort of newsletter, and we're republishing the unpublished memoirs of Robert Lawrence Balzer. And he talked about how to describe...
Is it censored? Or
no, it's not censored.
No. Okay, who was Mr. Balzer?
He was a Los Angeles Times wine columnist for about 35 years.
Is that the guy you got started with or you worked with?
Well, I worked with him for several years when I was there. But he wrote an article about 2 years before he passed away, in which he was talking about how to describe a great Pinot Noir. You pick the best rose in your garden. You put it in a vase that has absolutely no water, and you wait 2 days and then smell it.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
See, Balzer was like the Andrei Chelyachev of wine writers.
Really?
Would you say?
He was quite a personality.
Yeah, he
too.
Really was.
Where was he based?
He was Los Angeles.
No, I am.
Yeah, okay.
Interesting character. And then he lived to be 99 and a half.
Because of the wine.
And the martinis.
That was the thing.
Exactly. No
he liked
kidding.
His martinis and cigarettes, too, I know. Somehow he
Oh, he's my hero. Are there books about him?
No, there's just someone should write one. His memoirs are being republished by me and Julianne, and no one else has it.
No kidding.
Nobody has it.
There's no documentary or anything about this guy?
Nothing. This guy was one of the most fascinating characters I have ever met.
Loved martinis, wine, and cigarettes.
You got
He's it. My hero.
And he was smoking till the last day of his life.
He's my total hero!
And, Dan, we just got Vincent's experience this morning, right? So that just, or yesterday, that just come out. I didn't read it yet.
That's next week. We've got a story next week that you will not believe.
Okay, so it's not in
today. This doesn't have it in this.
Okay. Everybody doesn't understand this, but Vintage Experience comes out every other week. You just never know. But it's Dan and Julianne come up with some great stuff, and if you're into the business, you really want to read it. And I've been a subscriber since day one, I think.
Probably so. We started in 96.
He used to fax it to us.
That's true. I started with a fax.
What's a fax? Yeah.
So what do we have here, Jeff? What's next?
All right. So we're getting short on time. So I poured a little Zinfandel.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the stuff. The history of Zin in the Russian River Valley is just fascinating. In the mid-1800s, late 1800s, Italian immigrants, they kind of settled the area. And what they brought with them were Zinfandel vines and vines from, their home country. And a lot of these vineyards, there's fewer and fewer anymore, but they still exist. This is a vineyard that we purchased a couple of years ago. It's called Cytone. It's a Cytone estate. It's one of our vineyards. Cytone was the family that planted the vineyard in, get this, 1895. So these are vines that have been in the ground since 1895,
wow.
Still producing a nice crop. Not too big. Older vines tend to be, limiting in terms of how much they produce. It's right in the middle of the Russian River Valley, right on Olivet Road, just north of Piner, and in front of the Pellegrini Winery there.
Wow.
Exceptional site, beautiful soil, great exposure, old
now,
vines.
When you say pretty good crop... For an old vine,
like
how much?
2 tons to the acre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is surprising for something that's over 100 years old.
That's
beautiful
an amazing
fruit.
Zin.
Yeah,
beautiful
it really
fruit.
Is.
And what's kind of unique about how we make this Zin, remember, we're a Pinot Noir house, so we're making these Zinfandels in a Pinot Noir fashion, that all the same techniques that I talked about a little earlier. We practice all that same stuff with the Zin. And so it makes a really elegant style. This particular site, to kind of geek out a little bit, has a natural kind of pH in the 3-4 range.
Of course, we all know about the 3-4.
Yeah, of course, right, right Jackson? But that gives it that vibrancy and that freshness that makes it a wonderful food wine as well as a wonderful aging wine.
Raspberries and fresh plums.
For the non-geeks, it's really yummy.
Yeah, it's like warm off the blackberry.
Hey, Paisan.
Blackberry.
I agree. Let's break it down. Yeah. Okay, Jeff Mangahas.
Yep.
And Mark. Mark Malpiede. Yes.
It's never sounded so good.
Thank you very much. They are from Williams Selyem Wine, williamsselyem.com. California Wine Country with Dan Berger and Barry Herbst. And today, Tom Simoneau is presenting Williams Selyem. They are back with us after a few years. God, I love these folks. They do such amazing work. But you need to go to williamsselyem.com and sign up, and then you can go go for tours and tastings at the estate, which is phenomenal. I do want to remind everyone that we have a podcast of this show after winning numerous awards internationally for our work on California Wine Country. Now we are podcasting. We have been for a year or more. So if you miss any episode, if you want to check out any episode and listen to what these folks are suggesting as far as wines go and such, you know, Dan Berger will, you know, he tells it like it is. And it's all at calwinecountry.com. Every episode of this show is podcasted. It's also available everywhere great podcasts are available, which includes what used to be iTunes. Now it's Apple Podcasts. We're also on Stitcher and everything else. So you can also just go to calwinecountry.com and listen to every episode. Anyway, Jeff Mangas.
Jeff is fine.
Jeff is here, and Mark Malpiede.
You're going downhill on the names.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm very tired.
Can I have your keys, Jackson? Yeah.
Mike's already got them.
All right. Yeah,
yeah. We're fine. I do want to, we have a little time. Barry, what's happening at Bottle Barn this week?
First and foremost, I would urge people to sign up for our insider list if you want to come to our rosé tasting. We're going to mail out invites to that either tomorrow or Friday, and it'll sell out quickly. It'll be over at the Hyatt here in Santa Rosa.
When is that?
Summer solstice, June 21st.
Oh, cool.
And so it was a big hit last year. We've got the same room that opens up into the beautiful courtyard area where people get married there at the Hyatt.
What day of the week is it?
Thursday night. It'll be a three-hour tasting, 60 rosés, and only room for 130 people. So last year sold out in about a day and a half.
So bottlebarn.com?
Bottlebarn.com. Go to the insider sign-up and put your email address in there, and you'll get the email in the next day or two.
Did you bring, what did you bring? What's on special this week at Bottle Barn?
I'd rather bring some wine, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
I brought some Incadu Syrah, which was wine of the week in the Press Democrat.
Incadu.
A week or two ago.
E-N-K-I-D-U.
And I was unprepared. My rosé is still in the refrigerator. Banshee Rosé. It was number one rosé in the Food and Wine magazine this month.
So what's the deal with this stuff? It's all on sale.
Yeah, it's in our ad this week in the Press Democrat, and they cut loose with... It was basically sold out, but they cut loose with three cases for us, so we'll have this for a little while in the front of the store.
Very cool. So it's a Syrah.
Mm-hmm.
This is. Okay. Yeah, so go to bottlebarn.com, check out their ad in the PD. You'll find out all the various specials every week.
I'd like to add one more thing before it's forgotten. John and Kathy Dyson are the owners of Williams Selyem, and they are fabulous people. They do great work. They're wonderful communicators for the industry. They live on the East Coast primarily, but they come out fairly often, and they're wonderful folks.
Yeah, and they didn't mess with the winning formula. Yeah, no. That's why they're still going strong.
All right, Tom Simoneau, as always, thanks for coming in. He does it once a month, and thanks for bringing Williams Selyem in, you guys. Jeff and Mark, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
You guys do a great job.
Great to be here. Thank you.
I'll be back in 2 weeks. I'll be back on the 13th.
2 weeks. Yeah, who we got?
We're going to have Booker Winery.
Booker.
Booker. Ah. You guys.
One of our growers.
Booker right down the road from us.
They've got a new tasting room that's opening up in Windsor. We'll tell you all about it in 2 weeks.
Next week we get Paradise Ridge.
That's right. Cool. Oh, God. I love Paradise Ridge. That's great. All right, we got to go. You guys, thanks so much. Everybody.